We'll get to that John 2:19 verse, and that's today. Next couple of weeks, we'll talk about the cross, Lord's Supper next week, and get finished on Easter. It's important in the scriptures to know the difference between the crucifixion and the cross. And you'll know more about it when we go, and you'll say, yeah, I knew that. It's not going to be that complicated, but about this time every year, folks will debate and scripture search and everything, and you'll hear people say, who killed Jesus? And we did, you did, the Jews did, they did. We all had a part in it because we've sinned, and that's what he did. He died for sin, didn't he? But the crucifixion is one thing, and the cross is another. And when you learn the difference, and then take that difference in your life every day, will really, really get a long way spiritually. And you hear in the scriptures, we won't get that far this morning, but Jesus said, take up your cross. Paul said it. He didn't say take up your crucifixion. Our cross is a good thing. It's a powerful thing. It has to do with the resurrection. Crucifixion, all it does is kill and destroy. Men crucified Jesus, but it was God's plan for the cross. And we're going to be along those lines this morning. In just a little bit, when we finish John chapter 2, we'll go to Genesis 50, because Joseph experiences the same thing that Jesus is that we're going to talk about. So if you would, let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity to search the word that you give us, to believe in what you have for us, and most of all, Lord, that it would raise us up, Lord, in a spiritual way like it needs to. Bless your word, bless our hearts, bless our lives, Lord, as we leave today, and we just pray your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 2, look at verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. There's another message for another day, but the scripture, it says they believe the scripture and the word of God. The scripture is the word of God. The words that Jesus spoke to the disciples is called scripture, even in that verse. So the disciples later on, after the resurrection, believed in what verse 19 said. Now, the crucifixion, Jesus said, destroy this temple, his body, and they did. They put his body on the cross, they crucified him, they mutilated him, they spit on him, and the whole intent was to put him to death, to kill him. They hated him with bitter hatred, and they were evil. They knowingly and willingly put him through a hearing, through a court situation. They brought witnesses against him. They charged him with blasphemy because he said he was equal to God. And they found him guilty and put him on a cross. They are responsible, accountable, and guilty of murder. Because instead of the Jewish people stoning him to death for blasphemy, which would be the right proper sentence for what they claimed he was, they chose rather to take the Roman law, the pagan law, the not Christian law, and crucify him because it was cruel, it was public, it was awful. So they decided that they would put Jesus on a cross, put all their hatred together, and justify it, and claim that it was the right religion Jewish thing to do. And we've talked about it ever since, haven't we? Jesus really did die on a cross, didn't he? He really was on trial. He really was found guilty. His blood was shed, wasn't it? But that's all they could do. Because it was a crucifixion. Now, these people, if you go back up to verse 13, you'll get to find out just a little bit more about them. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The Jews' Passover, the celebration of every Jewish person every year of celebrating the Egyptian deliverance that the children of Israel had, the Passover lamb, the blood on the doorposts. They still believed that that was God. They still believed that to worship God righteously and spiritually, they had to continue the Passover. It was that time of year. So the religious Jews got together and they participated in the religious act of the Passover. Now, Jesus also went up because he was Jewish to celebrate the Passover. In verse 14, it says, "And Jesus found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Then Jesus answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus went into the physical temple, Herod's temple, and they were selling sacrifices. They were changing money. They had tables in front of the church house, and they were making it easy for people to have a sacrifice. It wasn't a spiritual thing anymore. It wasn't something that the head of the house laid aside and got the very best first fruits of the doves and of the oxen and sacrificed that blood in an appropriate way. It was a game. It was a religious act. It wasn't spiritual in any way. And Jesus said, you've made my Father's house a house of merchandise. And then he said in Matthew 21:13, the same thing. It says, you've made my Father's house a prayer to a den of thieves. So the same people that was willing to defile the Passover, defile the temple, would have any problem with killing the Savior. Today, it's amazing, but it's not. We've got folks that defile the Constitution, the standards that we know, the world that we live in that's Christian and that's right. And the same people that will defile and pervert are the same ones that would kill Jesus all over again. You hear people say if Jesus was here, he would love everybody so much that they could do anything they want when they want. And that's just not true, is it? They destroyed Jesus. Jesus says, you're going to destroy this temple. You're going to put me on a cross. You're going to destroy my life. You're going to put me in the grave. If that's all you can do, because there's a cross. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They had their plans, didn't they? Their plan was crucifixion. Their plan was judgment. Their plan was a public embarrassment. And they was going to show the whole world that this miracle worker, Jesus, that came on the scene was not God. He wasn't one that they loved, one that they worshipped. They was going to prove, just like they do nowadays, that evil's good and good's evil. So they crucified him. They destroyed the temple. And that's all they could do. And Jesus said, in 3 days I will raise this temple up, his body. Jesus literally went to the grave, didn't he? And he literally came out 3 days later. There was what men planned, the crucifixion, and there was what God planned, the cross. The cross that God planned for his son Jesus has to do with the sacrifice Jesus is our Passover lamb. He's the one that was sacrificed, his blood. He's our substitute on the cross, wasn't he? He took our place. He is our salvation. Because they couldn't keep him dead. He was raised up the third day. Satan was defeated on the cross. Sin was destroyed. And our debt was paid. Amen. Because of a cross. The plan that they had was a crucifixion. It was mean, it was hateful, it was evil, it was murder. And it had a beginning and it had an end. And then the cross came, the real meaning, the meaning that God had planned. Men could crucify Jesus, but they couldn't undo what they did because they hated him. They set the plan in order, didn't they? They had their witnesses, they had their trials, they had everything just right. In order not to be defiled themselves in their own hearts, they had to get Jesus dead before the Passover because it would be against their religion to do anything like this during such a religious holiday. But even though, as we know later on in Acts, it was part of the crucifixion, the hatred turned around. Because the scripture and the disciples and the preaching taught them that it wasn't a crucifixion, it was a cross. We're living in a day today that needs to understand the difference between justice, righteousness, and evil and hatred stuff. There's a big, big difference, isn't there? God shows us mercy. God's long-suffering, isn't it? He sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. And the cross is what we believe and what we celebrate this time of year, isn't it? The cross that Jesus was on is our sacrifice. He's our salvation. But then in Genesis 50, if you'll turn back there, look at Genesis 50, verse 15. Joseph is a type of Christ, a picture of Jesus in so many ways. And I believe in Genesis 50, verses 15 to 21, you'll see the same thing happen to Joseph that we just learned about that happened to Jesus. In Genesis 50, verse 15, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." They admit that they did evil unto their brother. And their daddy died, and they were afraid that Joseph would retaliate, would hate them in response, and he would make them pay for what they did to him. In verse 16 it says, "And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did it unto thee for evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him." This was offensive to Joseph. It made him cry because they didn't see it very deep. They didn't go very far. Just like the crucifixion, it had its place, it had its people, and it had its ending. And Joseph was torn, possibly offended, I think he was, that all the brothers, after all they'd done, and even if they confessed their sin, all they wanted was for him so-called to forgive them, but more, just not to do anything back to them, which is not true forgiveness. When I've asked forgiveness for God, I want the peace in my heart, and I understand everything else that happened doesn't matter. I deserve what I got, but I need peace. I need mercy. I just don't need a pardon that says, okay, we'll just let it go right now. And Joseph wept like Jesus wept over his brothers because they didn't go deep enough. They didn't understand about the cross. They didn't understand about the plan that God really had. They had their plan. They hated Jesus. They hated Joseph. They tried to destroy Jesus, and they tried to destroy Joseph, if they thought they had. Verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and be comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. Verse 20, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good. You had a plan to destroy me, to kill me, crucify me. But God had a different plan, cross. Joseph was trying to get him to see that they had sinned and they hated him and they deserved what they got, but there was a greater thing. There's a cross. There's what Joseph was allowed to do to save much people. You remember the scriptures, and I'm just going to have to be at mercy with your knowledge of the story of Joseph this morning. But Joseph had dreams at the very beginning of his early life that his mother and his daddy and all his brothers would bow down to him, that he was something special. And his dad didn't help, because his dad made him a coat of many colors, didn't he? In front of his brothers. And he was the next to the last brother. Benjamin was the youngest son. Benjamin Joseph was given birth to their daddy by the favorite wife. And the other ones were from some other girls. He was a favorite. He had a coat that daddy made that made him stand out. Well, one day they were all gone and Joseph was home, and he said, go to your brothers and see how they're doing over here. And when he got there, they saw him coming, and they decided they was going to kill him. They hated him. They were bitter. And things happened, and chapter after chapter you can read. But when they got there, they decided they was just going to take off his coat, and they was going to put him in a well. And whatever happened to him, happened to him. As far as they was concerned, he would die, and it would be okay with them. They didn't care, because they hated him, didn't they? Their own brother, the favorite of their father. And in order, as they went home to figure out what they was going to tell their daddy, they took that coat, didn't they? And they killed an animal, a lamb or a sheep, and took that blood and put it on that coat. And they came back and they lied to their daddy. He says, where's Joseph at? I sent him to come to you. He ought to be with you. Well, all we found, daddy, was his coat. And they made their daddy believe that he was the one that was guilty. You sent him out here. All we found was this coat with his blood on it. Maybe he's dead. Maybe an animal got him. And for years and years and years, that daddy believed that Joseph, his favorite son, was gone. He was dead. Joseph said, you had this plan. You lied. But what you didn't know, because you tried to destroy me, but God raised me up. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days. Joseph got raised up, didn't he? Oh, they didn't know. God caused a famine, and they needed to go where? Where Joseph was, to Egypt. Joseph had made it all the way up to just a below Pharaoh, didn't he? He was in control, and he was in charge. And God raised him up real high, didn't he? And they had to face him again, but they didn't know him because he spoke Egyptian. Joseph knew who they were, didn't he? Good, good story. If you've got time, you need to read it. But it was very, very clear that God had a plan, just like he did with Jesus, didn't he? A greater plan than what man had, to raise up Joseph like he did Jesus, huh? And in a little bit, we're going to talk about us getting raised up. But Joseph said, you had meant this, you had planned this. It was your desire to destroy me and kill me. You're guilty of murder. You admitted and you repented. And you're responsible, you're accountable. But God made a difference. He sent me here to save your lives and to save all of Egypt and all of the areas around. David or Joseph was given that power. He was given that opportunity. The brothers could hate. They could destroy. But they couldn't undo, could they? All they could do was be delivered with the scripture, with the word, just like us. Now, there's three things I want to put together now. It's important to understand the difference between the crucifixion and the cross. God's plans always comes first before Satan's or man's. Satan already knew what God was going to do in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? He knew who Adam and Eve were, didn't he? God had already, before the foundation of the world, decided that Jesus was going to go to the cross. He already, without a doubt, was taught in the scriptures for us even that there was going to be a evil and good against each other. The seed of the woman and the seed of the devil was always going to be at battle, weren't they? God had a plan first that Satan knew about. And all Satan could do was to have a plan to destroy what God was building. To destroy Adam through Eve. He didn't go to Adam, did he? He went through Eve, which was taken out of his rib, part of his flesh. Satan always comes to us through our flesh. Satan always comes to us to destroy with his plans the plans that God's already situated. All through biblical history, everything that you could ever read in the Bible, it always starts with God's plans first. God went to help Job, didn't he? Job was a righteous man, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Satan knew the plan that God already had for Job. But what did he try to do? What was his plan? To destroy, didn't he? Adam and Eve sinned and fell, but God raised them up, didn't he? Job went through a whole lot, but what happened to Job? God raised him back up. Even though Satan's plans are second, Satan's plans are always finished first, and God's plans always go on. Isn't it? It's true, isn't it? Satan had a plan in everything we've talked about this morning plus, and all Satan and his men can do is destroy what they can, and then they're done. God's plan's first, Satan's plan finishes first, and God's plan is to raise us up after we've been destroyed. I don't know about you, but when I was 17 years old, I got destroyed. My whole life was ripped apart. Right before I had the most worst things that could ever happen to me in my life, and nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know. There was no internet, and most of those people are gone. But right before, when I was 17, before I had the worst time of my life, I surrendered to preach. And I preached one time, and my whole life was pretty much destroyed. Very, very much. It took me years and years and years to understand the order, like I'm telling you this morning. How many of y'all have planned to do something for the Lord? You realized it was Him that was calling. It was Him that was leading, wasn't it? We have a spiritual understanding and a growth, and we start this, and we go towards God, and we go back to church, and we read our Bible. And then there's a plan that we don't know anything about that the devil's a part of, to destroy us, to crucify us, to stop that plan that we'll never be happy, we'll never do right. We're going to have to settle for this one. We're going to have to settle for that one. We're already dirty. Even though I wanted to be right and I wanted to teach, I wanted to preach, I wanted to do right, I'm ruined now. I'm destroyed. It's happened, hasn't it? But you know, it came an end to that in my life. How about you? Do you know what happened after the destruction was over? God raised me up. He did. And all through these many years of preaching and pastoring, I go through this. God's plan. We're going to go to this church and pastor. Boy, it looks good and it's great and it was good for years. Boy, there comes the trouble. He's going to show us different. The devil's going to kill and steal and destroy us. And you get something right in your heart and you do something for the Lord and you begin to do it. And there's a devil. He's going to destroy or attempt to everything we wanted, everything we've done. And the greatest thing that happens is God lets him have his way for just a little while. And the destruction that I've had in my life, God turned it into good. I can say like Joseph did in my past, as devil, you meant this for me to be bad. But God meant it to be good. And it's good, isn't it? And it always comes in that order. But my last question this morning, and we're going to get done a little early. I'm sorry. I'll make up for it next week. Maybe. But how many of us that are destroyed right now, more or less, maybe shocked, maybe numb? My question is, when are you going to let God raise you up? If you are God's, Jesus was destroyed, Joseph was destroyed, David was destroyed, Job was destroyed. But because they were the Lord's and the Lord allowed them to go through that, he raised every one of them up, didn't he? Huh? How long are we going to continue to let what we thought was our sin and our way? And it is. We agreed to it. We fell. We should have known better. But there's an end to it. And God lets the devil get away from us. And we're empty and we're cold. And God wants to raise us up, doesn't he? It took a while for Job. It took a while for Joseph. We're living in a day right now where the religious world wants to destroy the church, wants to destroy the Bible, wants to destroy morality and what's right. And you know what's going to happen? It will. But, it's for a reason, isn't it? Things that's happened to some of y'all most recently has never happened before, and it'll never happen again. For obvious reasons. But you're still down. It's not right. How long till you say, God, raise me up? I'm not ready, but I want to be ready. I've got these things to do in my life, and there's things that's coming that's good. Getting married and having kids and having grandkids, which is better. It is. You don't want to miss that. And not only that, those that you love and those that you haven't met yet that haven't been born, you want them to go to heaven too, don't you? And they need somebody that's been destroyed that's been raised up to follow after. Because I'm so, just this weekend I watched a grandson play ball. He'll be 8 in September. Had another one, one was Jonah 3. I wish he was staying with somebody else that day, but he was there. He just wants to play in the dirt and wipe his nose all over me. But I suffered through. I made it. But I love those two little boys with all my heart. And they need I'm Papa. They need Papa to be raised up the best he can, huh? I don't know how much more time I've got with them. I hope a lot. I'm planning a lot. But don't you see, what we're going through and what we thought was evil and wicked, and even that we might have been the cause and we might have been a little bit, it's for a good reason. You couldn't help getting destroyed. You didn't see it coming. But if you're like everybody in the Bible, it's time to get raised up, isn't it? Huh? Because somebody's going to go through what we are. And the magic thing is go through. I heard a preacher say when I was young, my mama, well, what do you call them, a hyperchondriac? I don't know. We decided we was going to put on her tombstone, I told you I was sick. But we didn't do that. But I remember her telling a preacher that came to visit us when I was a small child, and she always used the excuse, I'm under the weather. And he says, you need to get up from under that weather and get back in church. We're too hard on ourselves in a lot of ways. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? Everybody's got pretty much the same flesh, the same problems, don't we? And we've all got the same devil. And Jesus said it first, didn't he? You destroy this temple. And they did. But you're done. I'd like for somebody, my answered prayer this morning was somebody that hears this message would realize that, yeah, the destruction's come, but it's over now. And believe me, I understand about depression. I've been depressed 2 times, 2 different churches. And 1 time it was 3 years. And there wasn't nothing anybody could say or anything that they could do. And I couldn't even pray to get it off. It just lifted one day. But there's an end to it, isn't it? And when it's finished, Lord, I need raised up. I need to get raised up. I need to go on. I need to be new and fresh and right. And Lord, only you can do it. And I want to press it a little more than I ever have this morning. I don't know if you're saved. A lot of church members need to get saved. And I'm not saying anything about anybody because I don't know. But just in case this morning the Lord is touching your heart and has touched your heart, if you're here and you're just religious and you're not saved, you need to be saved. Because when the devil has his plan on you, and you're not saved, it could be it, huh? And there's a place called hell that people go that die that aren't saved. And you can know you're saved believing on him, praying, asking him. He'll do it, won't he? He's here this morning. He's in our hearts. He's in his word, isn't he? And it took a while for the disciples, after Jesus rose again, they remembered what he said. They said he was going to raise up, and he did, didn't he? And they believed the scripture, the word of God. If you're here today and you are saved, God can raise you up. And the stuff you've went through should be expected more and more as we get older. I do it every morning. I've got to drop at least 1 pill out of the bottles every morning. And I've got such an honest, righteous wife. And every time I drop one, she'll look at me and she'll say, well, I'm glad that's over. Does it every time. And wouldn't today in your heart, and you leave God's house, and you can honestly say, I'm glad that's over. I'm glad it's finished. Knowing that something's going to come back because the devil's destroying, isn't he? But God's raising up, isn't he? I want you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.